Welcome to Talking Cybersecurity, a weekly podcast listened to by people in over 40 countries around the world. My name is Richard Herron. This podcast involves people talking cybersecurity. Expect to hear about data breaches, different approaches to cybersecurity, and reports on cybersecurity events that I or my guests attend. Opinions expressed by myself or my guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions of my organisation or the organisation my guests are associated with. If you want to continue the conversation, feel free to join the LinkedIn group Talking Cybersecurity. Thanks to Pixabay for allowing me to use their music. Hi everyone, welcome back to episode 56 of Talking Cybersecurity. As usual, you've got me, Richard, the presenter, and we're covering a topic called Questions CISOs Get Asked. Now, if you're like most of us, probably been back at work now for 2 weeks. How did you go this week? And for those of you who just came back this week, how did you go the first week back? A lot of people I know are feeling really tired at the moment. It could be the weather, especially in Melbourne. It's been quite warm at nights. But maybe people just didn't take enough holidays. Maybe they've been staying up too late watching Netflix. I know I have. And maybe they're just sick and tired of work. It does happen. If you're feeling tired, go to bed early, start doing some exercise, try and eat better, or speak to someone about it. Okay, so this episode is titled Questions CISOs Get Asked. This episode may not be overly long, but let's just see how we go. And in no real order, let's start. So, one of the questions I get asked is, why did you choose cybersecurity? And that's probably a question I ask people, whether they are experienced or not. Why did you choose cybersecurity? Why is it that you and I are in this same field? Now, everyone has their own answer. For me, I don't know whether I chose cybersecurity or security chose me. And I know that's a bit of a cliche you hear from time to time. Believe it or not, I could do a whole episode of how I fell into cybersecurity. So I'll just try and give an extremely condensed version. So in the mid-80s, I did a year 12 subject called Computer Studies. I knew nothing about computers at that stage, but by the end of term one, computers was something I seemed to have an affinity for. I purchased a Commodore VIC-20 with a massive 4K RAM and 4K ROM, which I used for programming in BASIC. And of course, being proficient in BASIC, I thought I was the world's best programmer. I also used that VIC-20 with my Sendata modem. I used that to connect to various bulletin boards. I know the subject of bulletin boards, a number of you just won't know what bulletin boards are, and that is definitely a story for another day. By all means, Google bulletin boards if you don't know what they are. Anyway, getting back on topic, one of the topics in computer studies was computer crime. Now, for some reason, I was fascinated by the topic. My trusty Sendata 300 board modem connected me to numerous places around the world before the internet, as we know it today, existed. That's about as much information I'll provide you at this point before I incriminate myself too much. Suffice to say, that interest in computer crime, or what we now know as cybersecurity, stayed with me ever since. Fast forward 20 years to about 2002, and after a small work break, I reinvented myself into a security role by attending Foundstone's Hacking Exposed course. So before that, I'd dabbled in risk and business continuity and disaster recovery. But in 2002, this was my first foray into security by attending that Hacking Exposed course. There I learnt the most up-to-date hacking techniques, and it made me more determined to re-enter the workforce as a security person. I bought and studied numerous books and read all about security policies, security awareness, and protecting websites. Luckily, I had a background in risk and business continuity, and I say lucky because there are a number of roles advertised under the heading of Business Continuity and Information Security Manager, or Risk and Information Security Manager. So I thought I was, you know, halfway there. I went to my first security and business continuity role. I went okay, but I wasn't expecting much as I'd never worked in the security industry. But I did learn a lot, which made the next interview a bit easier. So I got used to what questions they would typically ask you for a security manager. So the next role I went for, I did go better than the previous interview, but I got caught out with my lack of experience. The third interview went well. I'd learnt what questions to expect and how to answer them. I clicked with the interviewers, and guess what? I got the job. Hallelujah. So I'd read enough to know I had to create some security policies. I knew I had to do some security awareness and also to do some user revalidations. I was also directed by the parent company in Canada and also the head of risk management, who I ended up working really well with. So how did I get into security? It started with an interest. I did some studying, applied for a job, and I got a lucky break. Everyone's story is different, of course, but I reckon it'd be similar to many of you. It started with an interest in security. You did some studying, or perhaps you're already in an organization with a security team. You applied for a job and you got a lucky break. All right, that was a long way of telling you how people typically get into security. Actually, one important factor I didn't mention was networking. After I got my first role, I leaned on an ex-Deloitte friend, and she helped me on my way with security awareness that then led to so many other things in the first job that I had. Another question I get asked: given the stress people talk about concerning security roles, why the hell do you do it? Is it for the money? Look, money helps, but it's not everything. I've always liked helping people, and that links with security, which is all about protecting customer and corporate data. What else? Well, I detest injustice. I see cybercrime as an injustice, an uncalled for attack on people and organisations. I don't like that, so that's why I want to be a protector of people and organisations. I also like the concept of redemption, and I think that's why so many people like the Shawshank Redemption movie. So that action of saving someone or something translates directly to a security role for me. I also think it's great when you find a field that you love. Personally, I do love working in cybersecurity, and that is one major reason why I do this podcast. If you do not enjoy cybersecurity, or whatever profession you're in, get out of it. If you're doing it for the money, you'll get sick and tired of it. But if you do enjoy security, you will hopefully enjoy your job more, you'll be more motivated at work because you'll be doing what you love, and ultimately, the money will follow. I've always been a believer of that. If you do what you enjoy doing, the money will follow. Another question: what's the best industry to do security in? Honestly, it's any industry. It doesn't matter whether you're in banking, retail, education, software sector. The concepts are pretty much the same. You are there to protect customer and corporate information. The way you do it is pretty much the same, although there might be some exceptions in some industries. And in some industries like superannuation and finance and banking, there may be perhaps more regulations you need to learn and to apply controls for. Wherever you go, you'll probably get involved with the same sort of stuff. Security policies, security awareness, security operations, security governance, security reporting, etc. It doesn't matter where you go, what you do is probably quite similar. So this begs another sub-question: should you stay in the same industry, i.e. banking, or move around? That's pretty much a personal choice, of course. Some people I know have done security in a bank or a few banks for 15 to 20 years. If that's the industry they enjoy, then stick to it. Personally, I like to experience security in various industries. Why is that so, Richard? Well, by moving around, I've learnt and experienced things that I just wouldn't have learnt if I stayed in the one industry. For example, I learnt a lot about point-of-sale systems and the 2013 Target US data breach when I worked in retail. I then learnt a hell of a lot about data loss protection and business engagement when I worked in a bank. I then learnt a lot about protecting critical infrastructure and OT environments when I worked in a utilities organisation. And I learnt a lot about the machinations about reporting to a CEO and the board in another role. So it didn't matter where I went. Yeah, I did similar tasks, but I learnt different aspects. And I think that makes you a more rounder security person. So bottom line, for me anyway, the more industries you work in, the more you learn. Another question: I've thought about cybersecurity, but I don't think I'm smart enough. Do you have to be smart to be in cybersecurity? I think I'm a great example of no, you don't need to be overly smart. I really don't think security is difficult per se, and I've mentioned this in the podcast before. Obviously, you just can't jump into a CISO, general manager, or head of security role just like that. You do have to build yourself up to it and learn along the way. I mean, you think about it, your success is a combination of your successes and your lessons learned or mistakes. So you've got to go through that to learn enough mistakes to build up your experience. And you've got to know your stuff. Obviously, your company isn't going to give you a high flyer role without you having any pedigree. And I hope you wouldn't accept a role if you thought you were significantly not ready. I think Richard Branson said words to the effect, and I'll mess this up, I'm sure, but he said something like, if someone offers you a role that you're not qualified for, just accept it and learn the job after that. You may want to do that, but I think that approach is really fraught with danger. Back to the question, is security hard? Personally, I don't think so. Yes, you need the experience, you need your network, you need to know how your business operates, and you need to know how to convert anything technical related into plain English, and you do need to understand the concepts of risk management. So what's difficult about security? As you move up the ladder, you may well identify with one or more of these issues. Security may be your priority, it just may not be your fellow workers' priority. Your company may be going through financial times. The security budget may have been drastically cut. All those things that you wanted to do may not be possible due to those insufficient funds. But just keep in mind there are always cheap, highly effective things you can do in the security field. Remembering the question, is security difficult? Here's another reason, right? You may actually be burnt out. Perhaps you've just lost some motivation. Better to take a week off or so you can come back recharged. So it may feel like a drudgery and painful and all that, but again, you just need to stop and go, am I burnt out at the moment? Or ask someone if they think you're a bit burnt out, and you probably are. If you're losing motivation, it's probably either not the right company for you, or two, it's because you're probably a bit burnt out. So take a holiday. Last and probably most significant is personalities. Not everyone will support you, believe it or not. Some people will consider security as overrated. Others will, for their own reasons, not support you. In fact, in some cases, they'll go out of their way to almost sabotage you even while you are working for the same company. You can imagine what effect that has on you if you think a fellow worker is almost sabotaging you. And I'm not making this up, and I'm sure that there are people listening who can testify to that. So, how do you handle those types of co-workers? Trust me when I say it can be hard. You can't control them, but you can obviously control your reaction to them. In most cases, just put your head down and keep on keeping on. You can raise it with the powers to be, but alas, there are difficult people in every organisation that are going to try and make your life hell. Just keep trying, forward is forward. If it gets too much, you can always leave. I suspect your organisation will know why you left. Too late, she cried. Where security can get hard is if you don't keep up with what's happening in the security world, i.e. you need to keep abreast of recent data breaches, security tools, and you really do need to either build or maintain a security network. Go to conferences or free security get-togethers, monitor LinkedIn groups, monitor security personnel or vendors on LinkedIn, etc. How much do CISOs get paid? Well, it just depends. Typically, public organisations pay more than private organisations. With respect to public organisations, typically the larger the organisation, the larger the pay. Certainly in banking and finance, the CISO pay tends to be much more. And some of the salaries of CISOs in vendor land seem to be way high. Okay, you ask, that's great, but how much do CISOs get paid? In a smallish organisation, you might expect, I don't know, give or take a dollar, 200,000 plus super. But again, it depends what country you're in, and then within Australia, it depends which state or territory you are in. Expect the 200,000 plus super in that smallish organisation in Melbourne or Sydney, but probably, I don't know, 10% less in other states of Australia. Medium-sized orgs, anywhere between 240 to perhaps 340 if you're lucky, plus super. And in large organisations, I really don't know. I'd guess some of the CISOs at banks would be on a good 400k at least, plus super, plus some type of bonus scheme. Obviously, it depends for each organisation, and the figures I've provided are only educated guesswork. What makes a good security leader? I reckon you could ask five different security people and you'd probably get five different answers. Personally, I like people to be humble. So when you see leaders beating their chest online about how humble they are to receive this particular award and how great they are, that is a real turnoff for me. I don't think that is an example of a great security leader. You do not necessarily need security qualifications to be a great leader. Look, it doesn't hurt to have one or two because that'll help consolidate the technical side of a security role, but that would be it. If I could pick two, I'd probably go for a CISM, as that's a pretty general security qualification, and I'd go for what I consider the big one, which is CISSP. But just don't do a CISSP in your first year of security. Wait a few years. You'll need that experience to get through the CISSP. If you have zero security qualifications and you want to get into security, why not try a Certificate 4 in security? And a big hello to Wasim who's doing that. I think that's a really good move for him. I would certainly interview anyone applying for a level entry role that had that qualification. You need to see things in a risk management viewpoint as well to be a good security person. To me, risk management drives a lot of what we do on a daily basis. You need to know how to write well and how to express potentially complex security issues in plain English. It's not a skill you can just pick up overnight. You've got to practice these things. You need to understand the industry you're in. How can you protect your organization or assess risk if you do not understand the industry your business is in? You do need presentation skills. You will look like an absolute superstar if you can wow a crowd. Preparation does go a long way, and that's why we see a number of people, especially newcomers to security, present at, say, the yearly ASA conference because they want to develop their presentation skills and gain some confidence in that area. What else? Be a people person. So one thing my dad always said to me was try and be a nice guy at work. So I say to you, be nice to everyone you can in your organisation. Be known as a nice person, not a snarling, angry person who thinks they are right all the time. Alas, I have worked with people like that, and I'm sure you have too. So in a nutshell, you need knowledge, experience, verbal and written skills, you need to know your business, and you need to be a good corporate citizen. I'll throw in some qualities as well. We covered this on the Lue Geshash interview, and we threw around a few words such as desire, aptitude, curiosity, and good listening skills. I'm sure there are other qualities people could throw in. And with that, we might call it a day with episode 56 of Talking Cybersecurity. There are other questions that I have been asked concerning HR recruitment agencies and also security sales people. That's a good topic in itself, but we've gone about 20 minutes and it's just time to say au revoir and have some dinner. So that's what I'm going to do. It has been wonderful speaking with you again this week on Talking Cybersecurity, and have a good week next week. I hope it all goes well for you. And until then, this is Richard saying, see you later. Bye.